change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. This is episode 2 with Dana Snyder, who's a digital strategist, founder and CEO of Positive Equation. Dana, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad we could do this. Where does the name Positive Equation come from?
So this is a funny story. Good question. I used to live in New York City and I used to take the subway to work. And I knew I wanted to start a company working with nonprofits in the social media digital marketing world. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking about what are all the words. I literally opened up notes on my phone when I would sit on the subway and I would just write down words that aligned with digital and social media and nonprofits and like positivity. And I was like, gosh, well, I want it to be positive and I want this to be a fun brand. So I was like, okay, well, positive maybe. And then I was like, man, there's Facebook and there's Instagram and there's statistics and there's marketing and there's advertising. And I was like, it's kind of a combination of all of these things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, if it was this and plus this, and I was like, oh my gosh, equation. And literally on my notes, I still have it in my notes today.
Yeah.
It lists a bunch of words and it's like a brain dump. And I'm like positive ... equation. And it's like, exclamation mark, question mark.
So, that's fantastic.
That's the truth.
Well, I think that that's a great exercise though. I mean, it's a great, I don't know if I could call it a branding exercise or not, but I'm like, you know, you went through the process, you put down all the terms that were meaningful to you and that's what floated to the surface. And
So funny is 4 years later, I haven't changed the logo. Everyone still says, I love your logo. Mm-hmm. I love your name. And it just came from literally, brain dump.
Exactly. That's so cool. So today we're going to talk about virtual events. And you wrote and said that you had 5 ideas to spice up your virtual event. How do we get into that? And let me ask first in a very general sense. Clearly, nonprofits are moving their in-person events to virtual events. We don't know what the rest of 2021 is going to look like with the availability of vaccines or not. Do you think that virtual events will remain as something in the repertoire, something in the folder, in the hopper for nonprofits forever and ever, amen? Or is it something that are we going to see the nonprofit world move back to doing in-person events and just forgetting that they can do virtual events?
I think it'll end up being a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a different comfort level associated with COVID, and even when everybody has vaccines, I think there might be a period still of being uncomfortable. Mm. And the brilliant thing about virtual events is that it removes the restriction of the 4 walls. Mm. So I think what will end up happening is that there will be a hybrid approach going forward, because there will be people who maybe have now become a big fan of your organization, but they've moved, right? They might not be local anymore. I'm one of those people who moved from Los Angeles to Atlanta in the middle of COVID. And there's a lot of LA organizations that I still really love and would want to support, but I don't live there anymore. Right. So if they were to host a virtual event or have it in combination with an in-person event, then I'm more likely to join. So I think it'll end up being a hybrid moving forward.
Excellent. So what are the 5 ideas that you've got? Take it away, please.
Yeah. So the first one is, please don't use Zoom. And I say that because when you think about Zoom, I think about meetings. And if I'm thinking about meetings, if I'm thinking about work, I'm not in the mindset to give. Mm. I'm tuned out. There's nothing new about utilizing Zoom. At this point, it's like boring. I know there's a chat. I know I can see people and there might be a presentation. Right. Cool. So I say there are so many brilliant platforms out there, and I'll just name a few that I really like. Okay. Run the World, Butter. Fundraise now has a free option that they use.
Interesting.
StreamYard is amazing. So you can integrate it just directly into your website. GiveLively. There's so many. So there are so many amazing virtual platforms out there to use that I would say use them, because they've been created for that specific purpose to create a more engaging experience.
I have one to put on your list, actually. I don't know if you've heard of Gatherly.io.
No.
I don't know. I mean, they want to learn how to integrate themselves in the nonprofit space a little better. So I'm sure they would welcome your feedback on how to do that. But it's a virtual gathering facility that allow, like if you and I were at a conference, for instance, or something, and I wanted to speak to you in private out in the lobby, I could do that within Gatherly and not be dependent upon a host to give us our own room, not be dependent upon making sure that our settings are all in the right place so that no one else can hear our conversation except you and me. I could literally send you a little tap on the shoulder that says, hey, meet me in the lobby. You and I would virtually go in the lobby, have our little, you know, quick conference, and then we can go back into the main room if we want. I attended a Christmas party with this tool once. There were three floors and like four rooms and a lobby so that we could split off and have our own private conversations with whomever. It was just like going to a party at someone's house. And anyway, Gatherly made that possible. And I thought I should put that on your radar and our, you know, our audience's radar. I think it's worth checking out. But I interrupted you. You were going on with your second point.
No, that's awesome. No, I love hearing about new platforms. And so many of them have different options like that. Run the World, you can chat one-on-one with people during the presentation mm-hmm. and have your one-off private conversation, but you can't be on video one-on-one. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Gatherly. I'll definitely have to check that out. The second point I was going to make is to think about who your audience is and what kind of experience would they want. Again, authentically and relating back to your mission. I think the old school gala approach is outdated and can be refreshed by thinking about who you're trying to reach in providing something that's valuable for them. So that's just kind of a brainstorming thought at the beginning of the event is what is the end experience you want to happen for that person? And as just a tip, there's a really fun website or company really called teambuilding.com.
Teambuilding.com.
And they have murder mystery, like virtual murder mystery nights. They have a campfire where they'll literally have a host put this on for you, telling like fun camp yeah. stories, and you get a little s'mores kit in the mail. And what else do they have? They have scavenger hunts, which is really fun. So it could be like,
no way, that's pretty cool.
It could be like, okay, everybody on your team, go find a pen. I'm making this up, right? So we would all
sure.
run, and like your team has to put up who found the pen first. So you're moving, it's interactive. And then in between the fun activity, it could say, hey, we're going to pause and do a quick mission story, right? So it keeps it interactive, it keeps it moving. And to that point, tip number three, live. Please keep it live. You can have some pre-recorded elements put into it, but if the entire event is pre-recorded, and I know a lot of organizations do this for safety or for fear of something going wrong, it's totally fine if something goes wrong. It's raw. It's real. There is so much grace in the world right now. It's okay for things to be a little off. That's fine. You're a human being. I love now. I was producing a virtual event yesterday, and a kid popped into someone's screen, right? And was like, hi. And we were talking about superpowers. And so the dad goes, can you say, what's your superhuman power? And it was cute. And now I love how that's become acceptable and the norm. Whereas before it was like, keep the pet out, keep the kid out of the room. Right. And now it's like, no, bring him in. Let's see. Keep it raw, keep it real, keep it live.
Yep.
Number four is participation awards.
Interesting.
So the tip for this is people are asking, how do I keep people engaged? Everyone loves a little gift, a little giveaway. So if there's a way, and I've done this in a couple events, where you can have kind of like a raffle item, it could be based upon donations being given throughout the event. It could be based on chat interaction. And you just keep mm-hmm. kind of, there's a ton of free tools where you can populate people's names as the event is going. And you say, we have this great gift basket, right? Which we're going to give away at the end, or we have a $50 Amazon gift card, whatever it is. And at the end, we're going to give it away to somebody randomly who's been participating during the conversation. It makes people stay on till the end of your event. So that's number four. And then number five is, because I'm a small business owner, I try and be a conscious consumer and B, support local businesses around me. So I say, if you're looking for entertainment or restaurants, bring in, find local people in your community that might be struggling because of what's happened in the world. Bring in that local mom and pop shop to like cater your meal, right? And to be able for people to go pick it up. Bring in a magician or a musician or a poet or anybody who might be local to your community that you can bring in as that entertainment and help increase their brand awareness too.
Interesting. So it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be an extravagant production. It could be something really low key and just bring those folks in to do a reading, a poetry reading, a quick performance or something. You don't have to have a full three ring circus.
No. And I think there's this, especially with, I'm doing a lot of research right now on Generation Z giving and millennials, and we see through you just hiring somebody for the spotlight of the moment, but they actually have no buy-in to your cause. Totally see through that. I would absolutely resonate. I don't buy big brands anymore as a conscious consumer. I go out and I research female-owned businesses to support, right? So common household items, I don't. I look to find, and we're seeing that in mainstream, right? The Caspers of the world and Parachute and Allbirds, right? There's small niche communities, these brands that have a social impact focus are really gaining awareness and buy-in from consumers. So in the same way for a nonprofit is work with organizations that maybe they don't have the biggest social footprint, but that doesn't matter. They align uniquely with your cause, and then your supporters are going to appreciate that even more.
Very cool. Excellent stuff, Dana. I mean, there are other things I think we should talk about, and maybe in a future episode, we could revisit and talk about how to create an engaging virtual event and there's other questions I think I'd like to ask you in the future time about how to double your donations using Facebook fundraisers. I think that would be a fun thing to cover. So I'm hoping we can do that at some future point. In the meantime, if listener wanted to be in touch with you, how would you suggest they go about doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. The best way is my website is positiveequation.com. And I have a ton of blogs and free resources on there surrounding putting together a virtual event. I have a course that is how to plan an engaging virtual event, kind of DIY style, that's available on there. Mm-hmm. And then my social channels are Positive Equation or Dana R. Snyder.
Dana R. Snyder. Got it. Dana, any parting words of wisdom for our audience real quick?
Yeah, I would say have fun. Have fun with your virtual event. Bring in every single person in your team to make them feel valued and that they have a say and opinion in your event, and bring in past participants and ask them what they think, right? It doesn't have to be, I think we always go to, let's talk to our biggest donors. No, bring in that person that gave you $50 last month, right? Let them see the value, because that $50 donation could definitely turn into a larger donation down the road. So bring in multiple opinions, because that'll help you really shape a creative and meaningful event.
Excellent stuff, Dana. Thank you for taking the time to do this episode with me. I do hope we can do some again in the future.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode. We invite your support of our efforts via Patreon. Please find us at patreon.com/nonprofitsnapcast. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.